Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. I just returned from the French Quarter Festival in New Orleans, where I was lucky enough to discover a band called Bon Bon Vivant. They're making original music that combines a lovely and dark mix of cabaret nouveau, indie gypsy, and body blues. I had a chance to speak with them after their show, but first here they are with their version of Shout Sister Shout, off a live album they recorded at the New Orleans Jazz Museum.
Well, the Boswells are from New Orleans, and they're three sisters, and they were making jazz music in the 30s, and they were some really badass women. We're sisters, so we've been attracted to the sister harmonies. That's kind of a heavy influence for us, and the Boswells being from New Orleans, when we adopted this city, we dove into their content. And one song in particular that stuck out to me was called Shout Sister Shout. This song, for me, is about resistance and about standing up for what you believe in. Shout that devil away.
Your hand, here's one thing that he can't say. Shout, sister, shout. Oh, 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 walking down the river, singing a hallelujah. So, stop jumping the devil before me. Just keep moving along. Tell old Satan how you feel. Get the devil off your knees. Shout, sister, shout. Oh, oh, come on.
Thank you.
That was Bon Bon Vivant with Shout Sister Shout. The band is made up of sisters Abigail and Glory Cascio, Jeremy Kelly, Rye D'Antonio, Ryan Brown, and Mike Robbins. Abigail is on lead vocals and writes most of the songs. Glory and Abigail grew up singing together in California. In 2004, Abigail met Jeremy, and the two of them started dating and playing music together in Los Angeles. In 2009, Jeremy, Abigail, and Glory moved to New Orleans after visiting and falling in love with the music being played on the streets and the bars on Frenchman. They met Rye, Ryan, and Mike, who were part of the traditional jazz scene in town, and united to form Bon Bon Vivant. I asked them about what originally drew them to the Crescent City and how the city influenced them musically.
One thing that was really different with trad jazz here versus the West Coast, at least from what I saw of it, is you have a whole bunch of like punk rock kids swing dancing versus kind of the smoothness of the West Coast's version. And I just fell in love with it. I mean, I grew up playing bass in punk rock bands before I started playing the saxophone. And yeah, there was just a calling. There was just a gravity for us to a little bit bawdier version of jazz, which jazz kind of was in its heyday. It was rough and tumble instead of cute.
I kind of came down separate from them, but the reason I moved down here was just the amount of jazz and different kinds of music. And there's a really old style that's being played down here, and that's actually the reason that brought me down. So before I met these guys, I was playing a lot of gigs. They call it New Orleans jazz or traditional jazz down here. I was playing a lot of that. Me and Jared played a couple gigs doing that, and we'll still play like a traditional gig every now and again, but since meeting, we've kind of gotten away from that. But I'd say that was the first thing we all, at least me and Jer for sure, really got in touch with. And Ryan, who's the accordion player, he got into that. And Mike, the bass player. We all had some jazz touchstones together before playing in Bon Bon Vivant.
I sort of grew up with Americana folk music, and I was raised in a really religious house, so secular music wasn't allowed in, but old stuff was okay for whatever reason, the Beatles and whatnot. But as my parents became more lenient, songwriting, I was always, as a kid, even before I put it to music, was writing poems and whatnot. And so I've always been attracted to a story in a song.
When I met Abby, you were listening to, because you kind of pulled me into Elliot Smith, Brad Eyes, those lilting storytellers, Regina Spektor, I think you turned me on to, and that kind of stuff. So it's been fun to see all of our influences marry in a funky way.
And so that makes me want to ask you a few questions about your writing, because when I was looking at all your songs, I was like, oh, there's a lot of stuff about death. At least in the title, but it's still very uplifting. And I feel like that is, they're not afraid to look at death in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's sort of part of the culture in some ways. What inspires you about death? I know that's a weird question.
No, I love this question. It's part of why I write the songs. And so, I love the duality of celebrating because death is coming. I think if I were to psychoanalyze myself, it would probably be growing up Christian with like the weight of hell and the cost of a soul and all this kind of dark, heavy content being applied at an early stage of my life. And then I walked away from that and still really value the living a purposeful life. In fact, that's why I, not to get too dark, intimate, but I left religion because it was it was too confining, and I couldn't celebrate. There was a lack of revelry in that lifestyle. We both did, and so I think the life and death element has always been choosing to live as opposed to following rules. And so bon vivant means to live well, and I loved what that represented, someone who drinks and eats heroically and just indulgently even sometimes. And then this city, you're right, absolutely has this kind of relationship with death. I think that was one of the attractions to me, is coming here and seeing that it's such a celebratory place, but there's a duality to it. There's also a very dark undercurrent, whether you
you know, want to tap into like the spiritual realm or all the haunted, you know, or if it really is just there's a good contrast of life here.
We can't thank you enough for being here this
thank
evening.
Thank you so much for coming out and doing this with us.
You made our night. You made our week. You made our month. You made our year.
I'm so excited. So this is called Lost Soul. This is the first track on our new record. It's gonna be the last track on our new record that comes out in December. Again, thank y'all so much for doing this.
That was the song Lost Soul from the New Orleans band Bon Bon Vivant. I spoke with them at the French Quarter Festival last week.
So this is sort of a family affair. You're not all related or married or whatever, but what What roles, I love asking bands this question, what roles do you play? Just like families develop roles in their family, like the peacemaker or the, you know, I don't know.
It's the opposite of peacemaker.
That's mine.
It's the joke.
Instigator. And actually, if you could just say who you are in the band, too.
This is Bobby. I play accordion and sing a little bit here and there. And the part of the role I play in the band is on a logistical level. I do some of the technical stuff to kind of get, we making the records and doing some mixing and making sure it comes out the way we want. In terms of a deeper level,
class clown.
The class clown. I'm co-chair of the class clown department along with Jeremy Kelly over here. So that's the role we kind of play on and off the stage, because it's during the shows it's kind of on us to horse around and like make some of the energy happen, and off stage kind of the same vibe.
we're also really lucky because Bobby does mix all of our records and records all of our records.
Oh, nice.
And also has done all our entire website and media. Yeah. So on top of being the class clown, he can do a couple of things all right. As well as crack a joke or two.
We all have jobs, and that's his.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a very shared, the whole media thing, all of it. It's like, I love the family vibe that we're all working together towards the same direction, and that we all, you know, we all kind of have found our places where we fit into that process over these few years. And when you say it's a family band, they're a real family, but we're all family at this point, you know.
Yeah,
just come too far to not call ourselves family, right?
This is Glory, who's the sister.
I am. Hi. I do backup vocals to my sister, and I love it. It's like one of my favorite things to do. I was always singing harmony growing up, and so harmony is a place that I fit really easily. And my job is merch, so I'm the merch girl. And merch czar. Oh, I like that better. Yeah. So I handle merch and just make sure that everything's up to speed. And it's fun because when we have set breaks, I get to talk to everyone who comes up. And just, it's just praise. Everybody really enjoys it. And it's a really fun spot to be able to, especially when a gig's really hard. And we're having a hard time, not sure if we're feeling it. And then you'll have a break, and sometimes you can't read the crowd. And then these people come up, and they're just, just so much. And so it makes it, I feel like I have the privilege, although sometimes I know it can look like it's not because you're still there, but I feel like I get the constant feed of the praise. And so it makes me constantly feel like this is great what we're doing, even if it was kind of a rough gig. So far as the deeper, I'm the older sister, and I think that, I don't know, support. I think that's
peacemaker.
The position.
You can claim peacemaker.
Maybe peacemaker. But sometimes I'm not so peaceful either. I got my ear. But yeah, I think that as being a sister, growing up as a middle child, I think I tend to be, kind of in the middle, flexible, trying to just have a good time and make sure everybody's,
Yeah, I don't even know where I fit into that.
Abby
immediately.
I'll sing your praises.
Uh-oh.
Well, we're a married couple, so that's a whole other dynamic mixed in. And then, I definitely would say, I think you're the head and I'm the heart. If I were to define our roles, he's a leader. He's firstborn son. I'm the youngest of five, so that plays in our dynamic as well as I think the band's dynamic. He does all the booking. He does all the. This is he's a workhorse, manager, booker, promoter. He's all of it in one. And,
pushing up the hiller.
He's the hype man.
I'm the Flava Flav of our band.
I feel like Jeremy's the one when the energy's low. He's always the one like, come on guys, let's go. We got to do it. Positive.
Positive,
negative in between, but he's always pushing it, you know. And that we need that, man.
Right. Roll. I want to hear your role.
Sure. Okay. I think
on top of being the CFO.
So yes. In real life, I'm also an accountant. So I do all of, like, the accounting stuff.
Wow.
He actually does the books for a whole bunch of musicians here in New Orleans.
Worked out well.
He just got done doing all of the musicians' taxes in town for the most part.
Yeah. That's probably a rough job.
Yeah. It's fun, but it definitely has its downsides.
It's like a charity that he operates.
Yeah. But so yeah, I do all that. I think to be a good drummer, you're just trying to make sure everyone's comfortable. So, you know, trying to be really supportive is definitely a goal of mine. Sometimes I'm cranky and I can't do that.
Yeah.
But
steadfast. I'd call you steadfast.
Yeah, I'm definitely the, I'm an accountant brain, logical, realist. That's I'm that guy.
He has no feelings.
No feelings.
Wow. I don't know if I've ever thought of drummers that way before.
That could
work because you are keeping the foundation. You're keeping it all together. Yeah, you're the foundation for sure.
Bottom of the cake, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just trying
to official title, bottom of the cake.
Very very rich and fudgy, but still the bottom, holding everything up. Yeah.
Perfectly moist.
Rich and fudgy. We were talking a little bit about how Bon Bon Vivant means living well and celebrating life's indulgences, which actually, when I come here, that can get me into a little bit of trouble.
Exactly.
Like, I'm wondering what indulgences you think are actually the kinds of indulgences that we can never get enough of, like, in your experience, and then what are the ones that maybe you've said, well, I'm going to not do that as much as I want
this
to.
This is a good question. The indulgences that we can never get enough of. I would say time with friends, time with loved ones, time with company. You never regret that. That was sort of we grew up in a big family and always saying yes to, like, hanging out or going here or doing sort of always saying yes to spending time. Yeah, that's the thing I would say about us is I would consider us highly connective. We look to have an exchange. And even on the stage, it's like, if people are just watching, I want to feel like I'm having a conversation. And so you, at the end of the night, that's an indulgence maybe, is getting to talk to people after a show and hearing how it affected them. And that genuinely affects me that same way. So it's not you giving me praise. It's me having a circular conversation with.
There was a story you were telling me at one point, Abby, about I see you.
Yeah,
and connecting with people on a level that allows a certain, like, even if you're strangers and you sit in a bar next to somebody, and you can still have a kind of intimacy where both of you enjoy each other's company and there's a connection made. And I don't remember the details of the story, but
it was basically, what does every human want at our core is to be seen. It was Seth Godin, I believe, was like a podcast I was listening to, and kind of a question of why do you make what you make? Why do you make your art? And boil that down. And he talked a lot about, like, people's need to just be seen. And if you just like reach out and let everybody know that I hear you, I see you, then it's such a better world. And yeah, I think that was.
I think we try to do that on stage too. I think everyone tries to
connect,
check in,
like, with each other.
Yeah. At some point, I'm trying to listen to Glow's tambourine, or I don't know. Sometimes Bobby will, like, really, they'll, like, on a slow gig, he'll turn around and just really make me crack up with some bad jokes. Jared too.
Well, I notice a lot of the musicians make eye contact in this really, like, kind of loving way. You're like, oh, they just saw me for a second. Now they're moving on. Or I think he likes me. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, he looked at me. He looked at me during the show.
Totally. If I make eye contact with the performer, I'm like, yes, that's it. I see you. I hear you. And, like, when people dance, I know it's, as an audience member, I don't always want to dance. But when I see somebody dancing, I know we're in conversation. It's
yeah.
Like, okay, we got this. This is going to be smooth.
We're together
fun.
In a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. This is a city for indulgences that we could curb.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a variety,
oh, yeah.
But I think it's that variety of, like, one of the reasons why I love the city so much is, yes, I'm not a big drinker, so that's an indulgence that I don't participate as much in.
Yeah.
But I love the celebratory spirit. I love that we can dress up. I mean, like, Halloween is bigger for the adults here than
yes.
It is for the kids. And I think those are the things that being childlike and creative is something that you can always indulge in, and that you can never have enough of that kind of indulgence. And this city definitely
supports it,
breeds that.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
During Carnival, it's really funny because as you talk to more people that have been here for a long time, we all develop a costume trunk or a costume closet. Because there's just so much of that happening, you just it stacks up.
Or you just know which of your friends you can crash into their house.
Right. Right.
And pro tip, it's Abigail.
It's really funny when, we've got second lines for celebrations, we've got second lines for death. There's all kinds of reasons that this city kind of parades, and costumes go along with a lot of that stuff. And so one of the big stressors going into carnival season is how many times do I have to costume?
Yeah.
And how am I going to get all that done? Before Mardi Gras Day.
Can I combine it?
Can you tell me about an interesting fan or just a fan that made an impact on you guys? Like somebody who shows up at every show that...
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So we have a friend's son who's like 9 and knows every single lyric and every... And that's always... You know, some of the content is a little... dark, and I'm like, it's a child singing that. Okay, cool, baby. But yeah, he plays one of them. They're two brothers. One plays the drums, and the other one plays the trumpet. And so they came down, and actually, the trumpet player sat in with us. Oh, trombone? That's right, trombone. He sat in with us on a gig and played a song. It was so cute. So the kids are. That's almost like wow. Am I impressioning little minds? Yes. Is that okay?
You're doing it.
Planting seeds.
For better or worse.
One of the first time we toured, and this will lead off to Evren. Okay. This will hand off nicely, I think. But okay.
I'm ready.
We were going to go tour very young in this band's creation, and we're having a hard time finding gigs and figuring out what to do. Yes. And we sent Abby, sent out a Facebook message and just said, hey, we'd like to go play in Austin and Houston and, you know, in California and go play.
We gave them our map.
Here's the map.
Trust your people. In that way, trust the people that are watching you. They'll know. I want you to tell me where to play in Colorado. I don't want a booker. I want the people who go to see music to
And
do that.
Strangers just messaged us. Talk to this person. He books this place. This is how this works. And, just so... There are a lot of individuals that have impacted us a lot, but it's really amazing to see just people we don't know come out and like what we do and help carry us along.
Know the words. It always blows my mind when I see people singing the words out there. It's so cool.
But we did that gig in Austin, and there was a gentleman.
Can I tell about Evren?
Yeah, Evren.
I got a shout out to Evren because he's been with us like the whole way. And
he's with us now.
He's with us now.
So
he's lived in different places, but he was the first one to buy when we put out our Pain and Pageantry record. We put out like this bundle of like you get the vinyl and the T-shirt and all this stuff. It was pre-sale stuff, and we'd never done that kind of thing, and we were like, dude, nobody's gonna buy this. Like, this is crazy, and we were all like worried about it. And then boom, we got the first sale. It was Evren, and then so they came out to see us in Austin.
Yeah.
They don't live in Austin. They live five hours away. They drove there from so far away, and with him and his wonderful wife. And we couldn't believe it was so cool that they came. And then we were up in California. And they showed up at one of those shows. And we're like, man. He's like, no, we moved. We didn't drive from Texas. We moved to California. We're like, great. So they're just going to keep moving everywhere we show up. Yeah. But and there's so many cool people like that. And we love them.
Well, thank you so much for taking a minute to speak with us. And it was
delightful.
A great show. And
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now we can say all the rotten things when the camera goes off.
Yeah. But I'm going to leave it on.
Oh.
Keep on. strong.